can either do this the easy way or the hard way. If you have heard those words, chances are you've had to do the difficult work of letting go into the inevitable, or not letting go and finding how hard things really can get. There are some circumstances that are going to be how they are going to be, and resisting them makes them worse. So you can either do it the easy way and let up your resistance, or the hard way and kick and scream the entire time. I don't think there's any question that Jonah found out the hard way. When God's good news needs to be proclaimed, there is nothing that can get in its way, not even human disobedience. There are all kinds of different literary traditions in the Bible. There is history, there is poetry, there's music, there's genealogical records, there are letters, and there is fiction. Biblical scholars tell us that Jonah is a fictional story meant to be a comedy and a parable for faithfulness, obedience, and the incredible expanse of God's mercy. The comedy parts of Jonah are pretty obvious, right? The way in which he acted through his judgment of others, as though that was more important than the largest city in the world at the time, it was laughable. Then getting swallowed by a fish, and surviving to be fish puke right on this place that he was trying to avoid in the first place, his petulance after success as he tried to find just one little piece of shade, Lord, and then a worm came and killed his shade. He was a really big crybaby about all of it. Nineveh was, as I said, the biggest city in the world at the time. Tokyo is the biggest city in the world right now. It was Nineveh then. Nineveh was also geographically huge, a 3 days walk across, the story says, right? So it's reasonable for a human to walk about 20 miles a day without putting undue stress on their body. That would put a lot of stress on my body and probably many of ours to do 20 miles a day, but just for the sake of how far it was across, by that metric, Nineveh would be 60 miles across to take 3 days to walk it. That's geographically bigger than San Antonio and then some. 1 day more of walking and you'd make it to downtown Austin. Anyone who would, with a straight face, say that their own comfort or preference outweighed the lives of the most populous city in the world is kind of a sick joke. Jonah's disobedience was over the top. And you can imagine a good storyteller having their audience in stitches over it, and hopefully duly warned to take stock of their own judgmental attitudes and surprised at the mercy of God. In this morning's gospel, which is not a comedy, Jesus enlisted help in his proclamation of the good news. The ways of God are never solitary. They may be inspired through personal connection, but they're always enacted in community. Jesus called community around himself to do the work that he was sent to do. Jesus, God became flesh. And he still brought community around him. The disciples, unlike Jonah, chose the easy way. They came pretty quickly. No, it was not easy to follow Jesus, but I think that it was easier than getting swallowed by a fish to do it. The good news of God will be shared. God's word does not come back void. So when we are invited to proclaim it, we can do it the easy way. Not a shock to anyone to acknowledge that the world is coming apart, right? All you have to do is turn on the news to see that. But every generation has seen the world come apart in some way. Every culture has faced a tumultuous existence. And it felt to Paul as he wrote this morning's epistle that the world was coming apart. So much so that he wrote, "Your earthly experience is fleeting, Nothing lasts. Don't cling to any of it. Only God's ways persevere. So many times I see this as a pastor. I sit with families saying goodbye to their beloveds, and I'm reminded our time is short. Not because Jesus is coming back imminently necessarily. I think over 2 millennia we get the picture that God's timing is different than ours. But because each of us is mortal and people matter. And the world is full of terrible and wonderful things simultaneously. So we must proclaim the good news of God's mercy for all. Every person matters. Every believer should be so full of God's love that he or she naturally proclaims the good news with their life. Every person, when they encounter those who follow Jesus, should feel the care of God. Friends in Christ, we can do it the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. And the hard way is not one of punishment. I don't think any of us can expect to get swallowed and then puked up by a fish. But not following the ways of God and not proclaiming the goodness of God's love and grace has natural consequences and self-defeating sin. We hurt ourselves when we do not live in the fullness of what God has given to us and to the world. We get distracted. And we, as they say, mess around and find out. It does not go well when we live in selfishness and greed. Good things do not come. But when we can live in total grace, unconditional love, and peace that transcends all understanding, we get to have this incredible fullness that spreads from our own hearts and lives and naturally is proclaimed to the world. If we can resist the kinds of things that pulled the character of Jonah away from his task, his own selfishness, his own greed, his own resistance, his own judgment, we can see God's mercy in miraculous ways. God invites us this morning and always to be expansive with ourselves first. Jesus didn't just get born in Bethlehem and start the next day, right? Jesus grew. Jesus got stronger. Jesus was filled with the Spirit himself. He ministered to by God and God's angels in the desert. And then he started proclaiming the good news. And before the disciples said yes to this task, they also heard the good news. They internalized it in their hearts. Those folk who are answering the call to participate in the ministry of Jesus have to receive that transformational work and God's love first. The ridiculousness of the story of Jonah is that God pulls out every stop to save the population of Nineveh, and Jonah still doesn't. In her commentary on the book of Jonah, Leslie Allen puts it this way. We have far too much in common with Jonah. A Jonah lurks in every Christian heart, whimpering his insidious message of smug prejudice, empty traditionalism, and exclusive solidarity. He that has ears to hear, let him hear and allow the saving love of God, which has been outpoured in his own heart, to remold his thinking. His social orientation. Perhaps the story of Jonah, in addition to making us laugh, invites us to throw the Jonah qualities out of our lives. To watch the transformation that occurs when we see the world and ourselves through the lens of God's love. And the joy of the proclamation of that through we get to do this in all kinds of ways, in coming together in worship, in supporting and loving and forgiving each other, in serving those in need, in ordering our lives in a way that promotes the reign of God, so that we can let go of our small stinginesses day by day, sometimes hour by hour, and live in the expansiveness of Christ. Friends in Christ, watch as you live in that way, and God pours out on you and on others indiscriminately. Watch as you're given chance after chance to follow Jesus, so that you can choose the easy way. But either way, end up in a state of grace. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like going on my own volition and joining into the joy and love of God is preferable to being dragged, kicking and screaming, and swallowed by a fish, and then vomited up on the same shore where the faithful are celebrating the reign of God. We've been given all that we need. Embrace it. Hold nothing back in the shortness of this life that we've been gifted. That is the reason. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Lord, you have come down.